be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. At the sight of the crowds, Jesus' heart was moved with pity for them because they were troubled and abandoned, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest." Then he summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to drive them out and to cure every disease and every illness. The names of the 12 apostles are these: first, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew; James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John; Philip and Bartholomew; Thomas, and Matthew the tax collector; James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus; Simon from Cana, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Jesus sent out these 12 after instructing them thus: "Do not go into pagan territory or enter a Samaritan town. Go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, make this proclamation: the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, drive out demons. With cost, without cost you have received, without cost you are to give." The Gospel of the Lord. Somebody sent me a little cartoon this week, and without seeing the pictures, we wouldn't really get it. But the first frame is a bunch of sheep, and then there's one black sheep. And then the second frame, there's a picture of Jesus embracing the sheep. And the first one says, "I used to always think I was the black sheep." And then the second one says, "But I discovered the one who revealed to me that I'm not." I find that kind of interesting because I think as Catholics, maybe as human beings, but as Catholics especially, we've been conditioned to think that way. And I think that when I was first ordained, I felt like it was my job to get up here in front and tell everybody what they were doing wrong. And then I realized that I wasn't doing everything right either, and that we need to be together to make this happen. Pope Francis talks a lot about this clericalism. That's what that was when I used to always browbeat people, tell them what they needed to do differently. Not that fraternal correction isn't important. It is, and I think we do plenty of that. But I think many times we set ourselves opposite each other in ways that aren't really good. Well, our bishops met this past week, and the purpose of their meeting was to establish, or is it to reestablish, faith in the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, to emphasize Eucharistic piety and devotion. And apparently they're planning some kind of super event in Indianapolis, which will be adoration and processions and things like that. All of this was based in a survey that was done by the Pew, by a Pew survey a few years back, where they discovered that a majority of Catholics don't believe in the real presence. And I never really believed that. I don't believe that study. And in fact, when they went to look at the study and they looked at the wording of it, it doesn't even say real presence. It asks people if they believe in the actual presence, which obviously confuses people, right? Notre Dame did a study later that used the words real presence, and the response was overwhelmingly affirmative, that the Catholics believe in the real presence of Jesus. So I'm wondering if this crisis is actually as much of a crisis as people would like to think, or if it's just people telling other people that they don't believe well enough. Archbishop Christophe Pierre, who's the papal nuncio, the representative of Pope Francis, he's like the ambassador of the Vatican to the United States. He addressed all the bishops this week, reminding them of what Pope Francis wants them to pay attention to. It's this synod on synodality. It's something that our church seems to be avoiding. Archbishop Pierre called for an openness to change and a shift away from a self-focus, that detracts from the missionary action of the church. The Archbishop urged our bishops to consider whether their structures and methods are effectively spreading the gospel or merely protecting its integrity at the expense of its outreach. He called them to focus on living the Eucharist as mission. A Eucharistic revival, he said, and he speaks for the Pope, a Eucharistic revival is a call to let the entirety of our lives be an expression of the Lord's real presence among us, a living out of the union that exists between our humanity, which Christ has taken to himself, and the divinity into which he leads us. We can't use the Eucharist as a lever to exert power over other people. This is the clericalism that Pope Francis has been speaking about so much. Well, it is hard to understand, and it's so confusing what is happening. We run the risk of being led to think that what the Pope's saying isn't important or even heretical. What can be more important than the Eucharist, right? Sadly, Archbishop Pierre says, the walls we build to protect the integrity of our faith also come with the risk of leaving people on the other side of the wall to whom the gospel can no longer be spread. Instead of ensuring a Eucharistic centrality to the synodal process, allowing for an organic discernment about our Eucharistic understanding, plans for this event, featuring a lot of preconciliar piety and theology, may be replacing the focus on the synod for a synodal church. Well, part of the problem is maybe we don't even really understand what synod means. It's something that exists very much in the Orthodox churches still today. But if our authentic community makes us the body of Christ, if our authentic communion makes us the body of Christ, then is that not a voice to be heard? We had those listening sessions last year. I'm not sure what happened here, but it was the same in most parishes. We had three listening sessions, and we had under 100 people total came to the three sessions. So I want to know who was speaking, who was listening, and who in the group felt like they were heard. If Eucharist is meant to make us Christ, then we must embrace the mission of Christ himself. If we become his body, that means we have his purpose, we have his hands, and we also have his voice. Archbishop Pierre says, where Christ is not already known and loved, we must put him there by our own real presence. Does the synodal process remain suspect because then, therefore, our communion is imperfect? Maybe we're not being listened to because we're not in perfect communion or we're not enough in communion. The logical next step in this reasoning goes in a dangerous direction. Who should then be excluded from communion in order to make our communion more pure? Who are the authentic members of the body who have the right to say something? And who do not? Perhaps then we don't know enough about how to guide the body of Christ, so we must look to our leaders. But then how can we decide not to listen to the Pope? We're kind of in this, kind of like this lost cycle. I think there is one fact that has been and always will be the hope of Christianity, and St. Paul says it in the second reading today. Christ, while we were still helpless, died at the appointed time for the ungodly. Indeed, only with difficulty can one die for a just person, though perhaps for a good person one might even find courage to die. But God proves his love for us in that, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for us to be perfect. He encountered us exactly where we are, and he entered into the fabric of our life, our experience, and our imperfect faith. By knowing him, by being with him, by responding to him, we learn how to know and how to be and how to respond better. But we can't do this apart. Jesus' method of evangelization was not a test that you have to pass. In the gospel today, Jesus looks out over the crowd and his heart is moved with pity for them. They were troubled and abandoned. So he sent us, he sent you out to the lost sheep to be found. The kingdom of heaven is at hand in you.